Acts chapter 5. And we're going to be in a series on Acts. Acts chapter 5. I thank God for this, the choir that sang at 8 and also the praise team. Aren't they going to another level? Do you feel the presence of God? Oh, my God. Y'all don't understand. God using you. He really is. The worship, your prayer time is increasing. My prayer time is increasing because the only way your prayer time can be increased is if mine increase. So at the end of the day, it says the greatest among you must serve. So y'all continue to pray that I pray and continue to pray for me because I need your prayers in order to make it through. I didn't realize, I knew that this was a hard thing to do, but I really know now it's a hard thing to do. And have you ever just realized what you was in? And you was like, how in the world is this even functioning with the skill sets I have? And that's why I know it's God. And that's why you got to give him glory and know it is not you that does it. And whenever you think it's you doing it, he got a way of showing you it ain't you. I don't need him to show me that no more. I'm going to know on my own. Acts chapter 5. Verse 29 through 32, Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit." Pay attention to this, who God has given to those who obey him. Look at what it says, though. I think we always talk about how the Spirit works in us, and the Spirit does work in us. But look at this last part of the sentence. The Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who do what? So if you don't obey him, it ain't working for you. For those who obey him. Lord, I ask for your power. Ask for your grace. Ask for your mercy. Ask for you to hide my sins, my shortcomings, and my infirmities so that I may stand holy and blameless in front of your people. And I know that we are not righteous, but you call us righteous because we believe in the redeeming blood of Jesus. So allow them not to see me, but to see the blood of Jesus, not to see my shortcomings, my infirmities, my frailties, but allow them to see the power of you. Please help me, Lord, as I bring this word this one more time. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be sitting in the presence of God. I want to speak to you from the subject, you can't stop the unstoppable. You can look to your neighbor if you want to, but you need to just say it to yourself. You cannot stop the unstoppable. Have you ever faced an impossible situation? But see, God is about doing the impossible. And see, you keep trying to do the possible, but God is not satisfied with the possible because when you do the possible, he doesn't get the glory because it wasn't impossible to do. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Anyway, in chapter 4 of Acts, we see how even in the midst of persecution, the apostles of the early church continued to be obedient in declaring the gospel. They faced opposition from the religious and political leaders of the time. Many were thrown in jail on multiple occasions, and some were even martyred for their faith. Yet through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christian experience, boldness, declared truth, and received empowerment through God's grace. They weren't focused on the present circumstances full of the discouragement, questions, and impossibility. Their focus was on God. As a result, men and women were saved, healed, and witnessed many miracles. The mission of spreading the gospel to all the earth was unstoppable because it was part of God's salvation story that has been written and continues to be written. We're going to go through a couple of points. You might want to take some notes, and Brother Esmond is going to help us with the screen. Number one, God calls us to do the impossible. God calls us to do what? The impossible. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. He knows that fear will not get us through danger, but love does, and a sound mind will, and courage can. Courage, after all, is not the absence of fear. It's the will to persevere out of obedience, even in the midst of opposition. Can I show you something? He knows that fear, the devil knows that when you fear, you won't move. Some of us walk around paranoid all day, worrying about who don't like us, worrying about who don't do this and who don't do that, and you can't control anybody. God is in control, and that's why he says, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his rod and his staff shall comfort you. So, see, some of you all get paranoid by the stuff you see, but I'm so glad you're not paranoid by the stuff you don't see, because there's so many things going on in the background that's coming against you that you don't even know what's going on, but God is covering you in the shadow of death. Come on, somebody. He's covering you, so don't worry about this. You need to stop fearing, and when you start loving God, you'll stop walking in fear, because perfect love does what? Cast out what? All fear. Peter was one of Jesus' disciples and became one of the main leaders and preachers in the early church, a fisherman by trade. His story is one of overcoming fear and living out the impossible. You may remember the conversation he had with Jesus at the Last Supper when Jesus told the disciples that he was going to be crucified, but Peter replied, Lord, I'm ride or die. I'm ready to go to prison for you. I'm ready to die for you. And Jesus said, slow your roll, Peter. Before the rooster crows today, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, what are you talking about, Jesus? Sure enough, when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied him three times, fearful of what would happen if people knew that he was with Jesus. But when Peter encountered the Holy Spirit, everything changed. Peter was no longer afraid and openly shared the gospel, even when he was met with resistance from the rulers and the high priest. Peter and the other apostles replied, if you look in Acts chapter 5, 29-32, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive them of their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who do what? Obey him. Peter and the other apostles could not stop talking. Can I tell you this? So the Holy Spirit works for you as long as God knows he can get the glory through you. But if you're arrogant and prideful and always trying to take God's glory, God not going to let you succeed in what he wants you to do. Come on, somebody. Every now and then when people clap for us a little too loud, we need to get humble and understand, give it to Jesus. It's not me, but it's through the power of Christ how I do this. Paul said, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in the Lord. You better get it right, because God will humble you if you try to exalt yourself. Peter and the other apostles could not stop talking about what they had come to know as the truth, even at the cost of being thrown into jail and flogged, even at the cost of losing their reputation in their fraternities and sororities, even if they weren't going to get invited to the country club, even if they were going to get kicked out of their job, even if they were going to lose some friends. They began to say what they knew what the truth was, even when the world calls it hate when you speak against sin, even they kept speaking anyhow. Some of us need to understand that if God is for us, we can speak out with boldness, and he's obligated to cover us. I'd rather people be mad at me down here than me wake up somewhere I don't want to be when I open these eyes. They were compelled by the revelation they had received through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They saw it. They heard it. They knew it to be true. They had witnessed miracles and could not keep quiet about it. What are you listening to as a result? What are you declaring? What are you listening to? Are you bumping down the road with two chains, or are you listening to something about Jesus? I ain't trying to judge you, but what I'm asking you is, what are you listening to? Because you got to control what goes in your eye gate and your ear gate, because that begins to fertilize your heart. And if your heart out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And if you keep putting garbage in your eyes and in your ears, you're going to speak out what you have been feeding it. I need you to feed it some gospel. I need you to feed it the word. I need you to feed it some prayer, so that out of your mouth will come out power. When somebody mad at you, you won't cuss back. You are just saying the name of Jesus. I know that. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He leads us into experiencing all truth, including insight into what is to come. He leads us into all understanding so that we can know who we are and what is ours. The word of truth refers to the authenticity, divine reality, and revelation. Just as Peter and the apostles knew the truth and were empowered to walk in obedience, so we can choose to be led by the Spirit in every situation, have an assurance of grace to face the challenge. You don't need the E&J to face your fears. You don't need the weed or the crystal. You don't need the crack cocaine or the heroin. What you need is a dose of the Holy Ghost and to bathe yourself with the word of God. Stop trying to look to other substances to take you to the next level in your life. God is the one that elevates. He's the one that gives you the power to obtain wealth. Every time you look for something else to make you feel whole again, you're looking in the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Look to Jesus. Number two, God empowers us to be unstoppable. Did you hear that? He empowers us to be unstoppable. The more resistance, threats, and violence Peter and the apostles came up against, the more unstoppable they became. That don't even make sense, does it? The more that came against them, the more unstoppable they became. The more you lift weights, the more muscles you get, right? So the more spiritual battles you go through, the stronger your spirit becomes and the more fortified you are. God is just giving you a spiritual workout so that when the weapon is formed against you, they won't prosper. You know what I love about God? God didn't never say that that a weapon would not be formed. He just said it wouldn't prosper. So when they start trying to kill you, when they start trying to poison you, when they start trying to plot against you, it don't matter. You're unstoppable. Every time they resist you, you get stronger in that situation. Whatever don't kill you makes you stronger. The doctors say when you break a bone, it grows back stronger when it mends itself. Why? Because when it's broken, it has to, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The rest of the body comes and let that bone borrow the elements and nutrients from it because it knows it's in trouble. And every time you get in trouble, the angels run to you and aid you and minister you. And the Holy Spirit is magnified when you cry out to Jesus and say, I can't do it without you. Yeah. While you tying off your arm, need to be tying off of your prayer life. Yeah. You need to be covering yourself with the blood of Jesus. See, I have found in my own life that God will often bring us through difficult circumstances that are impossible in our own strength so we can learn to rely completely on Him. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Every now and then God allows you to go through some pitfalls to make sure you know it was Him all the time. Because, see, sometimes when you got the easy road, you think it's you. But sometimes it's easy because God let it be easy. But every now and then, He allowed the devil to slip through his fingers on purpose. Remember Job. Remember the devil kept walking up and fro, talking about, I ain't got nobody to tempt. And God said, have you noticed my servant Job? So I need you to stop crying when you get under attack. Is God know you worthy to be attacked? He knows that if you couldn't handle it, He wouldn't put it on you. Because He never puts more on you than you can bear. If you couldn't handle it, He wouldn't let you walk through the storm. If you couldn't handle it, He wouldn't let you go through an attack. If you couldn't handle it, He wouldn't let you go through the bankruptcy. If you couldn't handle it, He wouldn't let you go through being laid off. If you couldn't handle it, He wouldn't let you go through the cancer. If you couldn't handle it, He wouldn't let you go through the failure. If you couldn't handle it, He wouldn't let you go through the scandal. If you couldn't handle it, He wouldn't let you go through nothing that you can't handle. He has equipped you and you are unstoppable. If you're going through it, just put your head up and look toward the hill which come at your help and just keep on walking. Oh, yeah, when the devil try to take you out, you will come preach a little different. I'm telling you right now, I feel your pain. I feel your struggles. I feel your insecurities. Oh, I'm telling y'all, be careful of becoming pastors. Be a minister as long as you can. Don't you be trying to get elevated. I'm telling you, because this here ain't easy. Because my job is to cover you, and some of y'all, I get hit by some mess you're supposed to get. That's why he says the greatest among you must serve. You come for a covering. Be careful of where you get covered from, because if you don't have somebody that can really cover your life, I know I got to be more prayed up because you're my responsibility. I know some of y'all older than me. I know y'all try to tell me, well, I look like your kid because you try to empower yourself to be my mama or my daddy, but you're not. How I look like everybody's child? You look just like my nephew. So you look, I'm like, my God, my face is changing every day. Who am I? I should break all the mirrors because I'm gonna think somebody broke in the house. But my job is to cover you. That's my job, to cover and pray for you. That's why I don't need you to try to tear me down. I need you to pray and build me up so I can help you. You got to, how Jerry Maguire say, help me, help you, help me, help you. If you don't help me, I can't help you. I feel Jerry. I want to go watch the movie. Just for that saying, somebody just pulled it up and emailed it to me. I don't want to watch the whole movie. I just want to see that. I feel the passion. I feel it now. See, when we remember about God's strength, it's about God's strength and not our own. We're more willing to trust him and allow him to use us for his purpose. See, in 18:27 of Luke, it says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. We receive empowerment through what? The Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, because his strength, he made me perfect in my weakness. His grace is sufficient for me. I need you to understand that you are weak just so you can know that you're strong. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, because when you begin to understand that you can't handle it, you become all the more stronger because you understand that Jesus is your crutch. See, what I want to say, can I talk about the women? Because sometimes we talk about the men, but I'm just talking about the women right now. If a woman break her foot, oh Jesus, she still may try to wear heels. Won't she? See, I get an amen. She know what I'm talking about. See, a woman, break her foot, she'll be in a boot. But it'll make her toe worse. Because she don't want to come to church without her heels. I'm just saying. Yeah, y'all got quiet. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I'm talking about you. Foot would have been healed 3 weeks ago. But because she wouldn't admit that her toe is weak and used the boot and the crutch, now she's still weak when she could be strong. And if you stop trying to walk on your own and recognize that the angel has given you a limp like Jacob and learn how to lean not on your own understanding but lean on God because you realize you're weak and use him as your crutch. That'll make you stronger. Why? Because you'll be healed better when you fall. You'll be delivered quicker when you fall into something. When you finally understand it ain't you. I wish I could play CeeLo's song. You crazy if you think you're in control, but I'm going to leave that alone. Following the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Peter and the apostle responded to the call of God and began to boldly teach the people of Jerusalem about what they had seen and heard. Their words and actions enraged the city's leaders, and the leaders threatened to kill the apostles. There was a Pharisee named Gamaliel who advocated on their behalf, persuading the high priest to let them live. I bet you they ain't even know about it. Do you know some people in the background advocating for you because people on your job hating on you, but it's a supervisor that see that you blessed? Even though they may not acknowledge that Jesus is in your life, they know that when you walk in the door, they get blessed because you bless them, because they take care of you, the company make more money. It may be money is the root of why they loving you, but at the end of the day, it's the Christ that's in you. And you wonder why you didn't get fired because there was a supervisor watching over you. Gamaliel was one of them, but he's... Let me I'm getting too excited. Y'all don't understand, when you really have an experience with God and understand that it's only by his grace and mercy that you even open up your eyes the next day. Now, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When you really you just get so excited about what God is telling you, and you got to share it. I got to tell you this story. dead words. It didn't raise them, but Gamaliel was a member of the Sanhedrin, the high council of the Jews of Jerusalem, and held one of the highest positions of influence. He used his position of authority and wisdom from God to advise the men of Israel to leave Peter and the apostles alone. He recognized that if God was orchestrating the spreading of the gospel through Peter and the apostles, there was nothing that could be done to stop this move of God. Acts 5, 38 and 39 says, "For if their purpose," this is what Gamaliel said, "or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But it is, if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God." God. You know how God confuses me when I read the Bible. Sometimes I feel like something's wrong with me. Because I see God punishing the Israelites by putting them in captivity with their enemy. And then once he forgives them, God getting mad at the enemy and punish the enemy for doing what he told them to do. Hold on. God, Pharaoh let the Israelites go. Now you saying, no, that's too easy. I'm going to harden your heart and do some more stuff to you to show you why I'm God. Disclaimer and message to the haters. Even if you feel God is telling you to hurt a Christian, don't do it, because he's definitely going to clap back. Even if he's using you to get them right, he's still going to get you back. I'm just talking to some church folk that think they on a mission from God trying to destroy leaders and deacons and preachers. And think because you know a flaw in their life, you're supposed to destroy them. But it says, "Touch not my anointed." Disclaimer for you. See, this is one thing I don't want. I don't want God to trick me into attacking another man or woman of God and then have to come against me and straighten me out. God, I want you to use me, but don't use me like that, because you always clapping back. God put them in captivity. Then came back after putting them in captivity and punished the nation that had them in captivity. So what that tells me, it tells me, Deacon Smells, that God allows enemies of him to touch you just so he can show them who he is. When they touch you, something else happened to them. Unlike when they touch somebody else. He said, if you come against them, you'll find yourself kicking against God himself. It ain't about you when they attack you on your job. It's about God. And when they attack you, they're not attacking you, they're attacking God. Remember what God told Saul before he became Paul? He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Paul thought he was killing Christians. Jesus said, "No, you're killing me, and I'm taking it personal." When you understand that God gets personal, can I talk to some mamas? Maybe y'all can feel me. Where the mamas at? Even if your child bad. You can talk about your child, somebody on the phone, but Brother Derek, if a mama call you talking about their baby, don't you say amen. What's amen for? They can talk about them all day, just like God can let you be put in captivity all day, but because somebody else do it, he's still mad. Don't you talk about nobody, baby. We were joking about this morning. You weren't here. I didn't want to talk about you behind your back. Miss Bells can talk about Deacon Bells all day in the board meeting, but if we say something, she coming for us. I try not to even laugh because she look at me like, "Was it that funny? You said it." I need you to understand that sometimes it's not fair. And I remember I used to joke about the Bruce Lee. Ooh, you need to start telling your enemies, "Ooh, don't mess with me, because God gonna deal with you." See, you know how if your hands are registered as lethal weapons, the reason why they have bodyguards is not because they ain't scared of you. They scared if they hit you, they going to jail. Because it's just like them shooting you in your face if they punch you. Because their hands are registered as lethal weapons, so they can't fight you. You feel me? And you need to understand that your spirit is a lethal weapon. And sometimes when people come against you, you just need to at least give them a disclaimer and warn them. Because you're unstoppable. Y'all been gonna plan. You need to start letting your enemies know. You need to be so confident in God, first of all, that you know it's you want to make sure you keep everybody safe. Don't start nothing with me. Because he who began a good work in me, gon' finish it. And he ain't finishing it because it's me. He finished it because it's what he wants me to do. And once you understand that God can use anybody, remember Elijah thought he was all in a bag of chips and said, I'm the only one that stood. And God came back and said, you ain't. It's a whole bunch of individuals that stood just like you. And if you think it's all about you, go down here and sit by here and I'll take you up and use Elisha in your place. I know God can rip me up and use somebody else. That's why I need to stay humble. Oh, it says, look, as a result of Gamaliel's speech, the apostles were not killed, but they were flogged in order not to speak the name of Jesus. Instead of seeing the flogging as threats, as a situation of pain, the apostles rejoiced. In Acts 5:41, it says, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. You got to be proud when you get attacked. Because that means the devil saw something in you that you was about to do for God that he felt so threatened that he had to send something at you. If you ain't being attacked, don't look for one because it's good. But if you're doing right for God, just know he coming for you. But don't get ashamed and upset and think God has forsaken you. He's not forsaking you. He's using you, and the devil is threatened, so he's coming for you. See, you wonder why he ain't coming to everybody else, because he can't do anything but kill, steal, and destroy. It said he who has not entered through the gate has only come to kill, steal, and destroy. And the gate is a woman, which means he has to be born of a woman to have legal authority on earth. And the reason why Jesus has legal authority, because he was born of Mary. And that's why in Revelation it says the Antichrist is going to try to be born of a woman so you have legal authority. Why in the world, if you got authority over angels who obey God, why in the world you letting an angel that was cast out of heaven and has no dominion over this earth, how do you let him kick your butt every day? You need to get up with boldness in Jesus and tell the devil to leave your family alone because you're unstoppable. Oh, I think I preached too hard at 8. I'm trying. Holy Spirit, give me strength. They chose to set their focus on God. Seeing the greater picture of what he was doing on earth, they could have complained, grown angry, or become bitter at the situation, but instead they viewed persecution of their faith as a privilege. As a result of their obedience and boldness, the gospel continued to spread. In Acts 6 and 7, it says, so the word of the God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests, did y'all hear that? Became obedient. A large number of who? Priests. Oh, hold on. That's church folk. He didn't say people and a large number of. Oh, hold on. That's the Bible, right? Hold on. Not people. Let me blow this up. A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Can I tell you, your neighbor may or may not be for you, so don't talk to your neighbor. Unless it's your wife or husband. But anyway, I'm just playing. Hopefully I am. I don't know. The Bible says, let the wheat grow up with the tares, which means everybody in church ain't got church in them yet. And sometimes even people come to church, they're not really coming to worship him. They're coming to see what's going on to plot against me or somebody else in here. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. A large number of priests were converted. Why? Because they saw the boldness of Peter and the apostles and realized that it must be God. You know why God allows you to come under attack sometimes? It's so that everybody can see that something impossible is possible when they submit to him. Do you know it's hell breaking out in your life because God is using your life as a witness to get his gospel out? Because they went through all this hell and they still kept talking for Jesus. They still kept being bold, even in a fearful situation. So you thought boldness was being bold only when you weren't scared. No, it's keeping on walking even in the midst of your fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. As long as you keep walking, you take care of the in-between time. Even if you got a limp like Jacob. Some of our limps weaknesses. But our weaknesses will become our strength when we learn how to lean on him. God gonna get that alcohol out you. But instead of you going to the alcohol or putting your heels on, your high heels of alcohol, put on the boot of Jesus. Instead of putting on your high heels of drugs, put on your boot of Jesus. Some of us keep wearing these high heels that's hurting our feet, even though it's hurting us, even though we ain't getting no better. We keep on putting on the high heels of pride instead of putting on the boot of Jesus. Oh, I don't even know where I'm going with this. I done went to a whole nother sermon. You keep on trying to put your high heels of heroin on, but you need to put on your boot of Jesus. Huh? You keep on putting on your high heels of your political affiliations. Well, you need to be putting on the boot of Jesus. Oh, yeah, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you, stop depending on all these outside sources. Stop trying to wear these high heels when your life hurt. Y'all get the metaphors? I'm really not talking about it. Okay. It's spread. Number three, let me say this. I'm going to hurry up. I'm late. Number three, God will never fail us. You know how they say never? I'm saying never. Because what? The blood will never do what? Never lose its power. Ooh, y'all was walking in it today. The Holy Ghost. Oh, my God. God never fails. God will never fail us. Look, among the apostles of the early church, there was a man named Stephen. Some people say Stephen, but I say Stephen. He